hours, it says. Here we are. We're online. This is an EVO moderator session, an EVO moderator training week 3 event on the topic of badges. There are two events on badges. The next one is on Sunday. We're talking to Hope Candle from Learning Times about Credly. And Jim could tell us a bit about Credly. He's been using badges quite a bit. In fact, actually, he's done some phenomenal work in badges here locally in the United Arab Emirates. So we'll get him to talk a little bit about that. I'm sure he'll show us some stuff. This is a flipped lesson. Let me see if I could just run a screen share. I can show you where it's flipped. Oh, I'm hearing an echo. Why am I getting an echo now? Am I playing a stream? Nina is here. I've got to find where the... here we go.
Chat. Oh, okay.
There we go. One of my windows opened a stream, so I was getting in my ear. I don't know if you heard it, but I was getting myself repeated back to me on a delay. It was rather distracting. Anyhow.
Oh, yeah.
Today, we've got Jim Buckingham with us, and he's, as I was introducing him just a moment ago. Hi, Jim. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. I'm a little bit whipped, to be frank about this, but other than that.
Well,
and I'm in my monkey suit, everyone.
Yeah.
Because I'm finishing the day here. I'm still at work.
Let's say hi to the other people. Jens, how are you?
I'm fine. It's a bit cold here. We have... beginning of November, we have around zero soon. So, we are busy, the Machine Evo team, doing our planning. And I just wanted to get a bit of inspiration for the team here to take with us. We have planned meeting every Sunday from now on.
Mm-hmm. What time on Sunday? Or is it just your team?
Yeah, just the team. Here we have it normally in the evening, 9 p.m. Central European time. I'm in Denmark.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It'll be about 11 o'clock where we are, I think.
Yes.
Well, that's going to be an interesting session. I really like the Machinima sessions. How is Heike doing, by the way?
Well, Heike is hospitalized. She had been quite sick, and she is not taking part in anything at the moment. She had to recover.
Mm-hmm. Is she out of the hospital?
I'm not sure. I don't think so.
Okay. Well, anyway, when you mention Machinima, I immediately think of Heike.
Yeah. The Camelot project, the European-founded Camelot project, is still growing. Some very strong people around it, you might know Carol and Crystal. Mm-hmm. And it's going strongly. All the materials from the web and so on. Even there's a conference at the Open Sim here this coming weekend, and James from UK, he's going to do a presentation about Camelot in Open Sim conference.
Okay. Well, the next person over is Kevin. Kevin is in Colombia.
Good morning. Yeah, you're finishing your day in out there. I'm just beginning my day, having my tea. Yeah, it's great to be here.
And which session are you doing?
I'm doing the flip learning, mm-hmm. and I'm new to this, the Google Plus and these types of meetings like this, and I just love it immediately. I really am a huge fan, and it's going to help out a lot in my work. So it's great to be here. I really like these face-to-face sessions and chatting with people in groups. It's really human. And that's what flip learning is all about, humanizing.
Yep, that's right. Makes recordings.
The event with technology. It's not about being techie. It's about people. So happy to be here.
Good stuff, Kevin. I'm rooting for you.
Nina has just unmuted, so maybe she could say hi.
Yeah, hi everybody. I don't have a webcam here. I'm at work, starting my day like Kevin. It is 8:07 a.m. and I have class at 9, so I will have to be leaving. Before you end, but I'm really pleased to be able to be here, and it's so kind of Jim to come and talk to us about badges.
He's been doing quite a bit on badges. So
yeah, I just reread the article yesterday.
And Victoria is here. Hi, Victoria. Do you have your mic working? Just muted it. Unmute. There
wait.
You go.
Hi, how are you doing, everybody?
Hi.
Hi.
How are you? Where are you?
Which session I'm in Uruguay, Montevideo.
Uh-huh, okay.
So it's 11 here, so I'm like in the morning still.
Muy buenos días.
Tell us about your
session. We have a responsibility to wake you people up then.
No, I don't really.
Are you moderating a session, or did you join us from... Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm moderating a session about using Moodle for blended learning.
Okay, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm supposed to know all that. Okay, well, Jim, what are you going to tell us today?
Well, I could give you sort of a background as to how I got involved with badges. I could talk about that for an hour and a half.
Open
it up to questions and answers. But by then, you'd all have left me, I think. You'd be out the door probably pretty quickly. I'm not sure what your expectations might be. I could start by telling you that I've been really, really excited about the prospect of badges. There's more and more literature popping up all the time. There's an increasing, a building interest in it, not initially with K-12, but now into college and university. There's also a great deal of interest coming from industry, particularly in the States. Veterans Affairs, curiously enough, in the States. Number of groups that you wouldn't expect that would be interested in digital badges. And by digital badges, I'm not talking about those that you may have come in contact with through Foursquare or Khan Academy. I'm talking about open badges. These are badges that you can earn and do with them what you'd like once you have earned them. So you can typically post these at with your email address, on a blog, on a website of your choosing, on your LinkedIn account, you name it. They can go just about anywhere that you'd like.
I'm just putting the article that people could have read. It's if you click on my avatar, that article will become big, or it's probably becoming big for you now because I'm speaking. But anyway, this is an introductory article that Jim did earlier this year about open badges. And I'll just work in the background here. I've got if you want me to show any of these links, Jim, I could do that. This, for example, the slide share is kind of nice. I mean, anyway, I'll put that up and you can talk.
Okay, well, the slide share is a presentation that I've been using. I've been peddling around the UAE, introducing the members of the UAE to the concept of badges. My big focus right now has been on using badges to promote professional development amongst EFL instructors, initially just within the UAE, but the bigger plan is to use badges and online self-directed tutorials to promote professional development amongst EFL educators, not just within the UAE, but throughout the whole MENA region, which is Middle East and North Africa.
Well, that's what we're all about in the EVO, Jim, as you know, is
okay.
Professional development.
Well, it's a really good fit with the, if you're talking about promoting professional development.
And some of our sessions have already offered badges. Nellie Deutsch offered badges using her Moodle site last year, and I believe Shelley Terrell also offered badges. This is going to be our first time being able to offer a certificate of participation to our EVO participants. And as soon as we started talking certificates, people started saying, well, what about badges? Why don't we just go to badges?
Great.
And finally, we're going to we can offer moderators the possibility of both or either, whichever they like, or neither, because it's all work. And when I was reading your article last night, I was thinking, this is not something that you can just do lightly. You have to really think about what your criteria are and how you're going to bake these different things into this little digital icon there.
Yes.
And, you know, you have to, well, it's like making a rubric for any kind of assignment. I'm famous for not thinking through what I want the assignment to accomplish before I make the rubric, and then I'm kind of stuck. You know, oh, I left that out, or whatever. So that's one thing I think our moderators need to consider, the time that is going to go into thinking about what the badge is going to be awarded for, and
well, if I can
how
add,
they can verify that that sure. thing has been done.
What I would encourage you to think about then is, what are the types of behaviors, products that you'd like to see people realize as a result of taking your session, that the badges could be used as a motivator to realize it. If it's simply to show up, then I'd be discouraging you from doing that.
Right. I think giving anything for just showing up.
Yeah.
I mean, showing up in EVO is already, we don't know if people show up sometimes, because unless they're actively posting and commenting and asking questions and showing up at live events, we have no way of knowing if they're in the background lurking or if they've just thrown the whole thing over and gone and done something else. So
sure. I mean,
I'm trying to stress that certificates should not be given because somebody's name is on a list.
Well, you just gave some criteria there, the things that people should do to get the badges.
And, right. Well, and then the problem is, who's monitoring whether or not they're doing them? I mean, what can you go back in a Google Plus community and do a search for a person and get a number of posts? And, you know, the post could just be, "Hi, John, welcome to the group."
Yeah. Which is,
you know, it's active, but maybe not what you want to give a badge for. So what I'm taking notes here, Jim, desired behaviors, or what was the other thing?
Think about something that they could produce that's tangible evidence that they've...
Right.
Even what's been discussed.
Like artifacts?
Yeah, some sort of a learning... I call it a learning object. You could call it a learning artifact. And preferably something that can be posted either on a blog...
Right. Right,
or a website, somewhere that it's easy, it's going to be fairly permanent.
What have I got on the screen right now, Jim? This is an example of your work.
This is my own Mozilla badge backpack, and in it is a list of badges that I've earned just over the past year in doing various things for TESOL Arabia.
You designed these badges, is that correct?
Yeah, I'm just in trying to learn about the whole ecosystem of badges. I took an excellent course. I can't recommend it enough. That was put together by Blackboard, Mozilla, and a public broadcaster in the States, and another web provider, I've forgotten the name now, and it was excellent, and it's still available. It's open, it's free, it's a MOOC. If I have a moment, I'll throw the link in there. And that taking that course took me through the whole process of building an ecosystem, understanding what's involved, and addressing the same issues that Nina's just brought up. The easiest part, and the fun, probably the most entertaining part, is actually designing the graphics for creating the badge. That's the easy part. The hard part is working out the criteria,
right?
Making it concrete, tangible, relatively easy to assess too, because you then have the issue of who's going to be assessing badges.
Exactly.
It may be more than one person. It could be two or three, and it could be that those people will change from one year to the next if you're looking at learning something for a period of time. And then there's what are people likely to do with it? How are they likely to see the badge being something useful to them? And that's when you get into issues of whether or not you want a badge to be aligned with a national, regional, or even an international standard, which gives it a lot more credibility and validity. Mm-hmm. So people are likely to be even more motivated to produce things, to produce the kind of artifact that you're thinking about, if they realize that what they're earning is going to be recognized not just within the small circle of you within your event, but much more broadly than that. It could be potential future employers if you put it up on LinkedIn or if you put it up on a blog or whatever. So it has the potential.
Can I ask a question?
Sorry, Victoria?
So can I ask a question? Is it possible that, for example, linking it to Moodle and to Moodle activities and reports makes it a little bit easier to record and follow, make the follow-up?
There are tools available, and I'm just discovering them and learning how to use them myself, that can be integrated into various LMS, such as Moodle. I believe Moodle's got a plugin that you can add to it that allows people to automatically even be issued a badge if they meet, say, a certain sequence, they get to a certain sequence or a certain stage of activities that you've set up for people to complete.
I've seen that one. So what you're saying is that you do it like manually, let's say? You don't do it automatically?
No, not when we're talking about something that is probably going to require somebody to look at. But what you can do is have people do a number of these badges where they're earning things automatically, and they can have build up a battery of these different badges, and so they get four or five of the badges, and they can produce the evidence of it along with an artifact that's based on these four or five smaller badges. Then you can issue them a bigger badge, so you're not being overwhelmed by the just the volume, the potential volume of requests to have things assessed.
Okay, thanks.
I might, let's see, is my mic on? No, it's muted. Is my microphone on?
Yeah, you're on there, Vince.
Okay.
I can hear.
All right, okay. It's, you know, on the mic icon, it has a little slash across it. And then if you muted it, that whole thing turns red, so you can't really tell if it's on or off.
Exactly.
Anyhow, we have a chat going at webheadsinaction.org/live. We're there. We're streaming from there. This Hangout is being streamed there, and there's a chat at the bottom, and there's some very interesting comments being made. I'm going to get a name wrong, but let me just M. Jesus Garcia.
Maria Jesus.
Maria Jesus Garcia. Okay, excellent. She's making some very interesting comments. In fact, she just said that she's working at the Ministry of Education right now, so I hope I didn't just bust her by exposing that she's not supposed to be listening to the stream. At least that's okay. She's enjoying herself here, and she also said she thinks that title of your MOOC is Badges, New Currency for Professional Credentials.
Yes, that's the one.
She provided the link. I'm going to put it in the share just now. And also, something else she wrote, she said she loves badges. She's very into badges, but she thinks they must be taken seriously, not only for gamification. We should make a difference between badges awarded as prize and badges awarded because participants have accomplished goals, acquired competencies and skills, after any MOOC, etc. And some of the links I'm putting up or I'm sharing are some of the... Actually, I think that Jim's recent work is really illustrative of this. He's gone a long way towards implementing badges. The ones we showed you are badges that are awarded to presenters at TESOL Arabia events. And so he's got this system going. And I'll pull up another... I'll pull up some more of his documents and then he can mention them as they come up. Okay, anyway, go ahead, Jim, or anybody else wants to talk.
I'm not sure what you want to know here, folks. Maybe you can be the drivers of this.
Can I jump in again?
Sure, Nina.
I posted this on our Google Plus community last night, but I was reading about the issue of credibility for the badges, and it made me think immediately of LinkedIn, which has this system of endorsements. And I'm constantly getting notified that some person that is one of my contacts at LinkedIn, but whom I have never met and who knows nothing about what my job that I actually do, you know, in real life, my day job. They don't know anything about what I do, and they'll have endorsed me for something that they think I probably know, and then I'm constantly being asked to endorse other people for skills that really I have no basis to judge whether or not they can do that. And so the result of that is I inherently mistrust anything that LinkedIn says regarding endorsements about anything. Mm-hmm. And it would seem to me that badges, we'd have to be careful to stay away from that kind of easy come, easy go awarding of badges when there's not something specific to base it on.
The term is badge inflation.
Right.
giving out awards for everything and anything to the point where they lose any meaning. So that's the concern. But if there's certainly buy-in from everybody on this.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something that I've really learned is the importance of producing a badge or producing a form of credential, if you like, that is challenging enough that somebody will be prepared to do whatever it's required to earn the badge. Interesting enough that somebody will want to earn the badge. And relevant. How useful is it going to be? And that's probably the most difficult thing to market, and that's the thing I'm working on trying to do now. We're still early innings with this concept. There are very, very few employers, certainly in this part of the world, that are involved in perhaps not even knowing about badges yet. Or if they do, they may know of it only in a K-12 context where a teacher on Edmodo is awarding badges for good behavior or answering a set of questions in class. But we're talking about open badges here, open digital badges, badges that somebody can take and use place wherever they like. Something for those that are not familiar with badges, I think a really, really important element to stress here is this ability to have the badge linked to evidence that's been used to justify the awarding of the badge, as well as the criteria that was used to award the badge or direct somebody towards creating the artifact, earn the badge. It's not simply a badge that one would place on their lapel or that business of what's called baking into the badge these other elements. That's what's really that's what's creating a lot of excitement about using badges. Yeah, thanks, Victoria. I think that's the one, huh? The site? We'll have a look.
The significance of your backpack is that you've got basically a place to put it, can see from anywhere, so this is where you store your credentials.
You might want to show them that, Vince. I don't have that phone.
Sorry?
Yeah, you might want to show that. See, there's links to the criteria that with the badge.
Yes. Okay. I think I can find that. It's one of the Google Docs. Is this it? You're breaking up a little bit there, Jim. Bandwidth, Zayed University.
How far is Jim from you, Vance, geographically?
At the moment, about an hour and a half driving.
Okay. Is he in a different emirate?
Technically the same emirate, but we're in different cities. But I used to live
in Abu Dhabi?
Yeah. He's in Abu Dhabi, yeah.
Okay, so you used to be neighbors, but now you're...
We're still neighbors.
We're online neighbors. You know.
You're compared to Vance and me, for example. You're
that's true.
Neighbors.
Yeah, we're shoulder to shoulder compared to where you are.
Yeah, really.
Could I just add something? I may be a little bit off subject, but I mean, as you say, the important thing, each time we say badge, we're talking, we say assessment, you know, and saying assessment in relation to Evo is kind of like, you know, I do not feel very happy.
They're radical.
Yeah, because Evo isn't about assessment. You know, could we kind of like...
Want me to use a different word?
Yeah, I think that would be important for us.
Well, that's one reason why they're appropriate for Evo, because it's not an assessment at the moment. It's, you know, something we can experiment with, and it's got currency. You know, as some people like certificates, and those are great. You know, I suppose you can print them out and still put them on your wall, but if you create in a backpack that you think you might. If this catches on and you've got something in your backpack, then you've got some street cred. A lot better than you do with LinkedIn, let's say, as Nina pointed out.
Yeah, plus the idea of experimenting with badges, that corresponds to an Evo thing to do, is effectively the experimenting.
Yes. I see if we can break them.
Well, it could also be possible for a group within Evo to generate the criteria for earning their own badge.
Yeah, that is how it has to work, definitely. The group has to decide for itself.
And another really interesting aspect of badges is once you've got the criteria set, if you put them into an algorithm, as Credly does, for example, or Nelly sends out badges automatically. She's quite good at that. I'm not sure. Maybe she uses something in WizIQ. I'm not sure exactly how she does it. But in that ecosystem, you can set badges to trigger as mm-hmm. certain benchmarks are met. And that's very interesting. So you just get one that's issued as when you make your fifth post or something like that, however you set it to be issued.
Yeah, and I'm using a similar technique in one of the courses I have here at ZU. Students are being asked to complete a number of achievements. They can pick from 40 different achievements, any number they wish. Each of these achievements is worth a certain number of points. They can pick and choose from the 40, whichever ones they wish, so long as they add up to 200 points. But along the way, it's possible with Blackboard for it to be set up to automatically award them a milestone to let them know that it's immediately acknowledged that they've reached 100 points, 150 points, etc. And I think they really appreciate that because the moment I'm doing the marking, I'm doing it on a computer, I'm doing it on the Blackboard gradebook. The moment those numbers kick in, Blackboard is automatically doing the calculations and automatically awarding the badge once it hits that particular milestone. I don't have to do anything. I'm not sure you're looking at doing that sort of thing with your Evo sessions, but it's just something to be thinking about perhaps down the road. It's possible.
Maria, webheadsinaction.org/live chat says that Nelly does it with Credly. She issues badges through Credly and many other badge ecosystems, she says. And she does it in Moodle, too. And I think Moodle can do fairly much what you mentioned with Blackboard. It's probably got something that... I haven't used Moodle since badges became this popular.
Yeah, I think there's a plugin that can be downloaded into Moodle. I'm not familiar with... Yeah, I know that Credly, there's also a plugin with Badge OS that can be put on WordPress, for instance, and then tied in with Credly to allow for the same thing.
Can I ask another question?
Sure, Tori, go ahead.
I understand what you're talking about right now about credentials and making it a good criteria behind the badge. My question is, like, if you leave aside the idea of a certification or a certificate badge, whatever it is, and you think about motivation, mm-hmm. would this work even if just for motivation?
Well, that's the number one reason a lot of teachers have been using badges in the K-12 program. And that's where a lot of interest in badges stems from, using them to motivate students, reward them for realizing a behavior. It could be as simple as, I don't know, keeping on task for the duration of the class. It was really in the hands of the teacher when and how they wanted to award them the badges. And that's been done, it's been available to teachers using programs like Edmodo. The only one that immediately springs to mind, but I think there are others like it. What I've been exploring is using it in the context of professional development.
Sure, and I understand that Evo is different in that sense because we're talking about professional development and probably participants would be more interested in having the credential. But it was just, I wanted to know your experience in that, in the part of motivation only at least, like keeping them on task and making sure they stay for the whole session.
Yeah, sure. Elizabeth makes a good point. It's like it's a digital version of STARS that were used in the past. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of elementary school teachers have been interested in using them that way as a motivator.
Okay, thanks.
I'd like to mention for those listening in the stream, there's one more place left in the Hangout, I believe. We have 9 people here. So you're welcome to join us if you can, if you're not working somewhere. And if you're in the stream and you're here, you should go to webheadsinaction.org/live and look at our Chatwing chat because there are a lot of interesting comments being made there.
Let me put a question out to everybody. What have you heard about badges and what is it that you think would be most appealing about badges? Start with that. Sort of do a De Bono 6 thinking hats here.
Well, I'm pretty new to badges, so I apologize for that. But I guess if I am putting myself in the shoes of a participant, I would prefer that it be something fairly simple and easy, not anything that I'm having to spend too much time learning about the badge, or you know, because I'm new to these sessions. I've never done a distance course. It's been a pretty big gap. Just learning how to use the technologies that we're using. But I wouldn't want to add too much onto it because most people are already working. They're already making lesson plans. I would just, as long as it's not an extra task, you know. And I would, and probably for the moderators too, if you're having to spend an hour figuring out how to make it all happen. So I would just want to make sure I'm, that it all is pretty smooth and not an extra workload. Mm-hmm. So, in your experience, how much of a learning curve is it to get it all in place and functioning?
I'm still building it. Of course, I think what we're trying to do here is probably a lot more complicated than perhaps what's within the scope of yourselves and what you're trying to do. What we're working on here is something that's trying to make an impact on a long-term basis throughout the region in promoting self-directed professional development amongst EFL instructors all over here. And that's not going to happen with one session. That's going to happen over a long period of time. If you're thinking about your 3-week, 4-week session, yeah, I think what you're talking about here is you've got a much smaller time frame, unless you're looking at, perhaps you want to agree as a group on a set of badges that are more generic, and that could be awarded to people for realizing an artifact as a result of doing an Evo session. And then if you could think about aligning it with some sort of a standard from perhaps ISTE or I'm not sure what other ones there are out there, that might be that might motivate people to do something more. And then that invites people, if they produce these artifacts, to share them with one another. And in effect, you start to develop a bit of a professional community, an online community, where people are sharing what they learn from things, what artifacts they produce. Perhaps they've implemented them in the classroom, and then you've got a lot more interesting things going on here. But if it's simply for participation, that's obviously going to limit the scope of and the usefulness of the badge to everyone. Just some things to think about.
Yeah, I agree. Like Vance said, something to experiment, you know, and if it becomes a hit, maybe it's something that could really become part of the culture over time. It could be incorporated into part of the culture. But then again, it's my first session, so we'll see.
I think if I were going to do it in the course I'm teaching, I'd probably limit myself to one or two badges to begin with. And as you build your system, you can add badges for many more discrete events that you expect that people will do. Or you might say give a badge a week or something like that. You know, but, I'd keep it kind of simple.
Yeah, I think that's legit. Understand what kind of overhead's involved, what kind of time you're looking at devoting to doing it. I haven't found it. There's a bit of a learning curve to it, but it's not insurmountable. It's doable for anyone.
What system would you recommend that people that's easiest to get started with?
I'd actually recommend Credly.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, what was that?
Put together Credly.
Credly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll put it up here. That seems to be.
Yeah, I might be able to get it up.
There you go.
About here in the slideshow.
Yeah, that's what I'm using for TESOL Arabia. This is from Credly. It's not from TESOL Arabia. I'm not sure where these are from. It was the last set from Slanza.
I think there was a slide here on Credly. Anyway, you've got yours up. Oh, you've got the same presentation up. No, that's mine. Oh, getting very confused.
Yeah, I just clicked on it to make it go full screen.
It'll make it go full screen for you if you click on it.
So. Oh, it doesn't make it go full screen for you.
No, only, well, actually, I've got it set now to when the person talks, their avatar goes full screen. So if they're talking and they've got a slideshow there, it will stay there.
Okay.
If the moderator clicks on one of those avatars, it makes that avatar stay on the screen. And it's there in the recording, but not necessarily for everybody.
Okay. I just wanted to say to Kevin, when we discussed badges before the session in the coordinating committee. Obviously, the first question was, should the moderators who complete the moderator training course receive a badge? So what do you feel about receiving a badge for doing your moderator training course?
Well, I don't know. I guess I wouldn't say no. You know, I feel like I've earned a badge for sure. I spent a lot of hours.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry we didn't get it together to organize our badges.
No,
I guess the criteria that went to earning the badge and that people had access to the criteria and whatever artifacts were produced to realize the badge, then I think the badge would have a lot more meaning.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely. That seems
the number of hours that you've put into getting this far in developing what it is you're developing.
So, I mean, badges are a lot like objectives, right? I apologize if I conceptualized it as, you know, on our PBWorks training, we have benchmarks. There's a box of objectives, and that's what's kind of guiding me. Instead of having a little bullet dot next to it, we just have some badges next to it, and that would be really transparent for me. We'd be like, all right, well, if I do this task and complete it, then I'll earn this badge.
It can be. Keep in mind that one should be able to click the badge and then gain access to the criteria that was used to earn the badge, gain access to the evidence that you submitted to earn the badge. That's where their power is. That's where the validity comes in.
And in that way, the badge might actually help link kind of the objective and the evidence of the objective and the steps that one would need to do to complete the objective.
Yeah.
Could I say something?
Sure, don't go for it.
Well, about this EWU certificate, it's complicated because one thing is the EWU session here, but at the same time we are doing our own planning in details. Now that's a bit difficult to monitoring, but that's where we are doing the things there. We are organizing our course and our things. So that's one thing. I just wanted to make one comment about how we are dealing with this badge thing, which is also very new. We had a bit of it during the years. They wanted some kind of paper saying I participated. So we used that just to say they had participated. Only the people who asked for it, because we didn't want to do too much work. But this year here, we are considering a kind of requirement. It should be that, okay, it's we're doing filming, so it's a bit easy in that way, where we say to obtain it, the person, each participant makes a machine where with his group where he acts or does something, film, act, write this script and so on, and we say at the same time the person should be there about 80% of the course attending, or about 80% of the task we have in the syllabus. That's how we are working so far, but it might be easier with this kind of thing where we have a product which we can look into.
Mm-hmm. I'd agree. It sounds like there would be a number of steps to achieving a final product, and those the badges could be awarded to somebody who's completed various stages. Maybe they, for whatever reason, they couldn't complete the whole thing. They could still be given credit for the work that they had done to a certain point.
Yeah.
Another thing to keep in mind is once people have been awarded a badge, I didn't think about this, but it seems to me it might be relevant to bring up now. You could be thinking about a year from now running the same course and identifying, looking back on the people who have earned these badges for your given course and inviting them back as people who have done the course to actually be involved in delivering it or helping you deliver it in the future. You use
yes,
the badges
exactly.
To identify that.
That's what happened with us. We have all been participants, so we are all being promoted now to moderators. Yes, so we have a good bank of experience and knowledge and how to do things. That's a very good point you're making there.
And you could even have these people being trained as group leaders, or, workshop leaders, or small group leaders to helping a cohort of four or five people. And giving them training on that and awarding them a badge after they've successfully completed a couple of these workshops. Doing that sort of thing online takes some special skills and talents. It'd be another way of recognizing it.
I just got the rather obvious but slightly brilliant idea. I mean, brilliance is doing the obvious, you know, sometimes, of putting the text chat up on the screen. So there it is there. And in that text chat, Maria, who said she has to go, I'm not sure if she's still there, she put she has a link to her digital badges. So there, oh, it looks like certificates of completion. That's a kind of badge, isn't it? Here's some badges. But anyway, she's got a little backpack there. In a blog. She's keeping them in her blog. And theoretically, you should be able to click.
Yeah, that one you should be able to click, and that should open up.
I see a little 404 at the end of it.
Uh-oh.
No, there it is. Okay. 404 must be part of the URL. Okay, so anyways.
EPU, okay.
Mm-hmm. So what are we looking at here, Jim?
This is probably using Credly or something very, very similar to it that I've never come across before. And it's also listed. Now, this is different. This may be within peer-to-peer you here. If we go to the bottom here, we have a list of people who have, I think, have also earned the badge. So in effect, it's giving us an insight into the other earners. And by doing so, you've got something of a community there. These people could be approached by people looking to learn more about it. Maybe somebody who knows nothing about it and being approached to being mentors.
Yeah, I'm mousing over their names. You might be able to see that, and you can see that N. Gonzalez is here, for example. And this gives the criteria to receive the badge, and it, it links to the course where the badge was awarded. So ICT and CLIL.
Okay. So can we go back, Vince, to see if there's any link to the evidence that was used to earn the badge, or is it just participation?
I think there was. Okay, let's see. This is it gives the criteria.
Yeah, there's no linked evidence that I can see. It's not a bad thing.
It says what they've done. It gives it says they've done these things. So I suppose evidence, yes, that could be done. I guess
it would be better if the individual were to produce something. In my opinion, it would be better if the individual produced something and then there was a link direct to the
other. And there was a link to that. That's right. It's sort of an e-portfolio. We're looking kind of at an e-portfolio concept where the recipient sets up a portfolio that can be linked.
This is a good start. I mean, just to you can see the value of this, huh? Just in being able to connect with other people that have. I mean, if you were coming into that course wanting to know more about it, there's what, 18, 20 references that you could contact and ask them about the course. They've read.
Here's pick badges, Moodle Moot 2015. So there's one of the badges that Nelly is using, I think. So it looks like this one is in pick badges. And
I'm not familiar with that one at all. Okay.
Okay. Just part of her backpack. Doesn't look like it says what you do to get the badge, but here's some collectors. Here's people who collected the badge.
Yeah, it's using the milestones tool.
Okay, well anyway, there's an example and also a good example of how fruitful the text chat is. So okay, Nina is off to class. Elizabeth Ann is with us in the text chat as well.
I mean, I could talk about this for hours, but I just want to be more focused on your own needs and interests. And
also, we have to let people know that Jim is still at work. It's sundown. It's after sundown here in the UAE, and he has a family. So let's give this 9 more minutes. We'll try to stop at the hour. So if anyone has questions, go ahead and ask. If anyone is in the stream, they could join us in the Hangout if you want to pop in.
Want to brainstorm about the possible uses of badges in EVO?
I have another question. How would you show evidence if this is part, like, let's say we're doing it in Moodle, so how would you show the evidence if it's, like, from inside the course?
I don't follow
you. You know what I'm saying? You were saying, and I agree, that it would be great if you could have the criteria and the evidence when you click on the badge. My question is, how would you show the evidence? How would you show the work?
I'm thinking of Credly here. Credly gives you an opportunity to, some pretty amazing opportunities here. You can upload a podcast, a video, a text file, a picture, or a link, and have that baked into the badge. What is that? PowerPoint, video, whatever. I mean, it gives you a lot of flexibility there on what can be attached to the badge. So if a student or a participant produces an artifact, like a presentation, great, it can be uploaded to and you attach the badge. If it's on a blog, it's probably the easiest thing in just putting a link to it. The only caveat to that is that if somebody changes their blog, then they're actually going to break the badge, because the link, once it's baked into the badge, can't be changed. So people need to be aware of that.
How would you go about, like, I don't know how to put this, but like privacy issues, like would you make, like have students sign or something that their work could be up, like somewhere in the badge or whatever?
Well, that would be up to them. That's a good question. It depends on how they want to use the badge. If they're looking to use the badge as a means to showing what they've learned and they want to share that with others, then they're probably going to be interested in making the evidence available as well. That'll have to be made public. It's possible to keep badges private into collections and then only make them public when you choose to. But the evidence would still have to be available somehow as evidence to anybody that wanted to look at it when they clicked on the badge. So I'm not sure you can get around that one.
No, I'm just asking whether you would tell the students, like, beforehand that their work will be shown as evidence for the badges.
Yeah, I understand that. I think the other way of approaching it is that the students will want to earn the badge so that they can demonstrate it. I should also tell you that in some cases, a lot of courses are emerging that use badges not as a something that's required, but it's an option. And I find that really interesting too, is that a lot of people are designing, especially in higher education, the option of earning the badge as a means to demonstrating skills or an application of what's been learned in the course, getting the badge to demonstrate that, and making it all completely optional. So you might want to report to that one.
Okay, thanks.
Not a requirement, but something that's optional.
In my avatar view, I've got a course. This is actually an EVO course I ran for some years. And I ran this course at sometimes in as a TESOL Principles and Practices of Online Teaching. It was one of their courses. And in that one, let's see if I can find here are the portfolios. And one year I ran it, I had the students create portfolios. So that was one of the goals of the course. And about privacy, they created their own blogs, but I think most of them are up. I'm not really sure. I just clicked on one at random. Sarah's came up. We'll look at that one again. That one was there. Okay, so here's Sarah's e-portfolio, which that was one of the goals of the course, was to basically, well, that course, you say what you want to do in the course, and then you do it, and then you say what you've done in your e-portfolio, and you have links to the different things that you've done. So if your course is designed so that students should produce artifacts, like, for example, a good example would be the e-perfect textbook, where students are supposed to do things each week and work toward producing a textbook. So when you actually achieve those things, then you would get the badge and your evidence would be the thing that you achieved. Is that making sense? And here's the link to some e-portfolios, for example.
Yeah, I'm just thinking out loud that somebody could actually choose to open and close a blog, making it private and public.
Well, they could.
That link in the badge, but then they'd have to coordinate when somebody opened up the badge, make sure that the link that they pressed was in fact open and made public. That's the only way I can see it working.
Well, here's just an example of this course that was run several years ago, and these are basically still alive. I've got students I was teaching 10 years ago who still have their blogs open, and most of them are, in fact. They're very rarely do they come down. People just generally create them for a course and then forget about them. at least they've got them, whereas if you do it, say, in Blackboard or something like that within the course, you lose it at the end of the semester.
Yeah, that's true, and that's a big problem. That's criticism of higher ed scoring. I won't go there. I won't bore you with the details of it.
Well, we know about that, and also, you know, this is the nice thing about open systems is their strength is in their openness and in the fact that the world that you're training people to enter, whether they're students or people like us, this is a world where open credentials are more and more valuable, becoming more and more valued, I should say, and you know, and the whole discourse with profession with your colleagues is what we're doing now. I think it's very rich. I actually, in last Sunday, we had some people from my office in the chat. That's very unusual. Mostly, I don't have this kind of discourse with people that I actually work with, but I'm constantly having this discourse with people like you, you know. So, and that's what EVO is all about, and that's what, and if you're in an institution with institutionalized students, you know, then introducing them to that concept, opening up the class to something that is open and enduring, you know, is a very valuable thing to be emulating, thing to be modeling.
Well, that's the exciting thing about badges. That's the thing that's really, I see this as a major, it's a very disruptive technology. It's, the United States is putting, the U.S. government is putting a tremendous amount of money into this as a means to breaking down employment barriers that high school students and war veterans are encountering, because they may not have a degree or diploma, but they've got a rich variety of skills that if they could earn these credentials, open digital badges, that they could then have evidence that they do have skills and they could get into the job market much easier. That's where the excitement really lies with badges. The Manufacturing Institute of the United States is spending millions on this. I know the Clinton initiative is involved in promoting this for veterans, and there's plans to try and make this available to 15 million high school students over the next 3 years in the United States alone.
And so it's also not going to go away. You get to essentially create your own curriculum, because you know you can take the things that you're supposed to take that are listed for you, you know, basket weaving 101, psychology 101. These have benefit, of course, perhaps, but this way you can choose, oh, no, I want to take nuclear reactions 401 or something like that, and, you know, develop your own curriculum that would then have value.
Yeah, and then find somebody who's prepared to be a mentor to help you realize a learning product, and then submit the learning product to perhaps not a learning institution, but maybe a manufacturer or an industry that's looking for people with those sorts of skills and puts together the criteria, and then I can go and apply for that particular badge that's put out by industry because of the need. And if I put together enough of these badges, industry wakes up and says, wow, you're employable, I need you. You've got these sets of skills. You've realized that. I see your evidence. Wow, it's a real potential game changer. There was a really, really good link to some of the open badges that you can earn right now, which I'll share with you. I found this relatively recently. These guys are quite interesting. Can you open that up for me, Ben?
Yes. It's being opened in my window there. IPT EdTech, is that it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. These are open badges, which means any one of us could go to work at clicking on them, learning the criteria, realizing the criteria, and then earning the badge. They're prepared to award it without even knowing who you are.
Mind mapping. Okay. Cool.
And then if you see from that slide you've got up right now, by putting together a series of these badges, then you can earn what's called a master's badge. And even that's graduated.
Yeah, so for those of us in lifelong learning, this is something we can do right now.
Yeah.
And yeah, very nice.
I think that's a good way to approach it, and perhaps go out and earn a badge or two And in the process, you become familiar with what's involved in creating your own set of badges for your course.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, Jim, I know that you are passionate about what you do, and because of that, I'm sure you're willing to stay for another half hour, but I don't want to keep you.
If I need to, yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, I've invested a fair bit of time and energy into learning about it, and I'm really excited about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
okay.
Yeah, and we have on Sunday, we'll be talking with Hope Kendall about Credly. She's with Learning Times.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, we'll be in the Learning Times. Unfortunately, we're bumping the poor flipped learning people who actually reserved that room because I neglected to. My apologies for that. I'm so sorry. But in any event, we're in the Learning Times room because Learning Times is who's providing that room for us, so we can't very well... not let Hope Candle in and do her presentation. So she'll be talking about Credly in the WebEd's Blackboard Collaborate Illuminate room, and that'll be on Sunday. I'll be announcing that event tonight perhaps, or in the morning at latest. So, and it's at learningtogether.pbworks.com. You can go there and you can see the schedule of all the events we have set up.
While you're putting a plug for that, perhaps I can put a plug in for something, a little project that I'm working on right now, which is an open digital badge, which means it will be open to anybody and everybody who has access to the internet to earn a badge through TESOL Arabia here, which would involve setting up your badge backpack. And I'm expecting that we'll have that hopefully live by the end of the month with a corresponding challenge to go with it, created the artifact of earning your, not only building a badge backpack, but learning how to evidence that work and learning what you can do with the badge pack in the process.
As we have Kevin here from the Flipped Learning team, Jim, you're involved in a flipped learning project right now where you're trying to put together a set of tutorials.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell us a little bit about that and also how you're designing, you're awarding badges for that as well, are you?
Yep, definitely.
You're awarding badges for the people involved in flipping the classroom or for the students that are participating in the flipped learning environment?
I'm not sure we're talking of flipped learning environment.
What exactly are you flipping your project?
We're producing online tutorials.
This is for the professional development that you mentioned
before.
Yes.
Ah, okay, I see now.
Self-directed professional development.
It makes total sense. It really does seem to make sense because... especially if people are working at their own pace, yeah, like you said, going different times, different places, they can work on badges. It really seems to make sense to fit in there.
The flipped learning aspect, my understanding of flipped learning is essentially doing a variety of things that are self-directed outside of class and then coming into the class and taking what you've learned individually and then working in groups to perhaps realize something else.
Absolutely. I totally agree. I'm really thinking about what I'm doing with my project. I work with adults teaching English, kind of with professional working adults. I guess you would call it ESP for all practical purposes. And I totally agree that would be perfect. The only thing is if people are working together in collaborative projects, it might need to be a little more guided because the idea is that they are working on their own pace. But if everyone's doing completely different things, it...
Nope, I lost you there, I think, Kevin.
It might. We want people to be somewhat on the same page for their collaborative projects, albeit working at their own pace. That's the whole thing with the flipped learning right now is making the assignments and objectives and assessment all kind of align.
This sounds like a really good fit for badges. Really does. I mean, they could be earning these badges on various skills you can determine what skills are most valuable to them to come into the classroom, but the students could be picking which ones they want. You could know which skills have been earned, and you could actually be building teams of people based on what badges have been earned, putting this guy with this skill, this guy with this skill. You could be putting together teams based on those badges earned to realize a product.
Right.
So that you come to the group with an expertise. Wow, I love it. Sounds
right.
Fantastic.
You know, and some people struggle with certain things. And so if you have, you know, maybe as the course develops, you could switch the groups depending on that. And so maybe if there's three or four people or a couple people that aren't getting one particular badge, you know, that's one of the benefits of flipping your learning environment, that you could free up that time to where other, I mean, the people that are just whizzing through it obviously can work on something kind of on their, in their group, and then maybe the teacher could have a little valuable time to help those people realize that badge. And then you never know, because, you know, maybe in the past people have labeled someone as slow, or they just don't get this thing, but as soon as they get that one badge, now they're rocking and rolling, they fly through all the other badges. So that's kind of why I'm personally passionate about this project.
Or even assuming a leadership role, if they're the only one in the class that earns a particular badge, boy, they'll suddenly become pretty popular if everyone else discovers that to do the project that's being asked of them, they're going to need that skill. They haven't learned it, but there's the one guy in the class that has.
Right. And that could be your first line of defense even as a teacher.
Yes.
Help, you know, maybe have them try to teach it. Because, so, you know, a lot of times personally, sometimes my students are better teachers than me.
Yeah.
You know, so they can explain
and
it.
Oh, especially
yeah. And now that I'm in a homogenous environment, so maybe someone can explain it better, as they're all Spanish speakers here, you know, maybe they can actually explain it, not in Spanish, hopefully not, but they they have a better angle than I do, because I'm still, you know, looking at it in my perspective. And this reminds me of something in the past I've done. It's more a digital way, but imagine having a whole bunch of objectives up on a big poster board, and you draw a grid, and you just put some, you have a name, and then there's maybe 20 or 30 or whatever on there for the course, and then, you know, you'll just put a sticker on the wall. It's like that, but just maybe a little more powerful with the technology, in that you could link the evidence for the, it's not just a sticker, because you can actually link the evidence. So maybe that's a benefit of doing it this way.
Yeah, and then to take the badge beyond the classroom and show it to put a potential employer, or even their already current employer.
Oh, I love that. You know, you're right, because when we showed that one up on the board that you pulled up there, Vance, I thought that looked great, because a job employer can look at all the sessions she's done, all the conferences she's presented, and you're kind of looking like, wow, you know. I mean, it's a lot like just writing them on your resume, but it's kind of cool in that you can evidence it, and if they are more formal, then they're kind of backed up as a certified badge. But it would work perfect for my environment, for my students, because one of the reasons they're learning English as professional working adults is that they could have some evidence to show to their employers. Like, look at all, you know, I'm not just in English class or whatever, like, I'm actually participating in a really awesome learning environment, which is adding value to me as a professional. Like, look at all these things I've done. And it's kind of, you could tie this kind of the theme of portfolios, if I'm understanding it well. A badge backpack can kind of tie to a portfolio, and now, you know, you're helping people's motivation, you're kind of helping them feel more professional. The bosses are going to see more professional acts, attitudes, behaviors from their, and then next thing you know, you're changing a whole work environment.
Definitely.
Potentially, if you could make it all, if you could swing it.
Something you said a moment ago, Kevin, just made me think of this little Padlet I've made. Can you see it up there? So I've got all my students here. So
oh, yes.
Depending on their performance, let's see, you know, I'm not being able to move that for some reason. It looks like Abdullah Nasser is still down at I want to do it. What about Mubarak? No, okay, I can't move them. I'm not sure why. Anyway, it could be just my computer has about 20 tabs open. But basically, you can use Padlet to move students' names or pictures or whatever you can put up there around on the screen. mm-hmm. and have that up in class and, you know, sort of reward them that way as well.
I like this, Vance. This is great.
What is this on? This is on
Padlet.
On Padlet. Oh, great. Yeah. Oh, I like Padlet. I'm going to use Padlet to post to, as a bank for my videos.
What you just said, you know, because you could.
That's
just,
neat.
It's a motivator, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get them all up to the top, you know. So.
If you don't mind, can I snap a screenshot of your picture here?
Yeah, I can give you a link. You can do that. I really don't mind. I'll put the link in the chat here.
Great.
What a wonderful form of feedback you can get from your students quickly about where they're at with learning.
You embarrass something. A few, but you know they can climb up the ladder, you know. So.
Anyhow. Now, do you determine where they go on the ladder, or do they?
I do, because it's I own this one, but I suppose I don't. You could probably set up something collaborative. People can put their they can put things on it. I suppose they could, and they could put it there. They could open their own. They can do that. So you could have your students put themselves on the ladder at the point that they're trying to reach. But of course, it could be something else. It could be, say, doing five things in class, and you put your name on the one that you've accomplished. And if you get two, you get your name up two times, whatever. So you can have students do that, too.
Yeah, I love it. And I like the idea that the students identify people who've declared that they can do something, and then they can actually go out and reach out to these people for peer assistance. Just an idea.
Yeah, I agree. I like that image that behind there. It's a neat image.
Yeah, got it on Facebook, I think.
Nice. Oh, lots
on
of ideas.
That note. Oh yeah, go ahead, Jim. Keep us going.
Well, just love the idea of brainstorming these things with you. Mm-hmm. You begin to see the potential for badges. Another term. A lot of people don't like the term badges, by the way. It conjures up scouts or guides. And people putting little badges on their lapels that say,
like in the movie Up.
Yeah, I'm a quilter or whatever, and then people say, well, so what, you know? And so a lot of people are using it, especially in higher education. They want to use the term micro-credentialer.
Oh, yeah.
Granularizing the learning. Yeah. Lima, go for it.
Micro-credentials.
Okay, Halima, you'll have to unmute yourself. You're muted at the moment.
Hey, while she gets unmuted, I agree with you. It's really great to brainstorm these ideas. That's why I'm just an immediate fan of this Electronic Village and Webheads and all. I've never been exposed to this, but I immediately enjoy it. And tying that to what Vance said earlier, I already feel like I collaborate with my own people in my own department. And we've been, except for right here, of course.
I think Halima's ready.
Hello.
Hi, Halima. Halima's in Uzbekistan, by the way.
Yes, hello to all.
Hello.
I am pro badges, and I am pro acquiring new knowledge, being as a participant in EVO trainings. But years for years, I'm only one participant, never being moderator. I would like to be. James, I know that your friend Kirkem has great connections with Uzbekistan's Association of English Teachers, with members almost 150,000. Why not to promote the idea of EVO trainings? Explain them. This paper is paper, batch is best, but knowledge is knowledge, because we need knowledge urgently here. People are not trained in EVO. Only me get this certificate. I see that in your Western culture, EVO paper, batch, or thing. For us, it is evidence of new skills and new knowledge. Therefore, I am always proactive with all trainings Vance organized. Even people do not understand that this room learning is without any money, totally free for people. And nobody will.
Yeah, it's not a matter of selling it. That's not what we're doing. Or, you know, it's just available. It's kind of like an apple tree. You know, the apple tree doesn't give you apples. You have to go to the tree and get the apples, and they're there for everybody. So that's, you know, just more like Halima to encourage people to go. And then she does. She's got Facebook pages where she puts things up, but she has also a lot of resistance where she is from, you know, the entrenched bureaucracy that doesn't really promote, you know, that keeps itself doing the same thing over and over again, and it's a little hard for her there, but I'm sure it will come along. But anyway, EVO is available for anybody, and it starts in January and February. And you go to evosessions.pbworks.com if you want to participate.
I wanted to add something more that I think is really, really important here. It's going up to understanding the power of badges and micro-credentialing. It's this issue of one that we're all facing. Things are changing rapidly, and as a result, there's a lot of question marks about higher education and its ability to serve the needs of an undergraduate or a graduate. Higher education's response is typically to teach people how to learn, to be lifelong learners. But there's still growing criticism of the rising cost of higher education, students being saddled with monstrously high debts, in some cases being insurmountable, and coming out despite all having this huge debt with not having a very difficult time being employed. And so higher education is under a lot of pressure to make itself more responsive to change. Of course, the argument is that higher education doesn't have a responsibility necessarily to make people employable. But try to tell that to a student who's got a monster debt. So a lot of higher education's response to this has been to look at micro-credentialing as something to complement the degree. You can expect to see that occurring. It's already in the dialogue in higher education. And part of that came out the other day, or actually it was, I'll give you the link there. This was a discussion that was sponsored by George Siemens, who's now with, Vance will know George, who I'm referring to, who's now at the University of Texas, and he's been doing a lot of work on distance education, distance learning, and connectivism. And look, he's been involved in promoting this concept of using MOOCs and breaking down barriers to giving people access to higher education. And the fellow he had come to this presentation, the link I've given you, is Alan Radford, who's with Deakin's University in Australia. And it was interesting to hear that coming from such a high-level source, that they recognize that they have to unpackage higher education. And part of that unpackaging may involve, without them wanting to say it, badges. Remarkable times. Pretty interesting times we're living in. So something that started at the K-12 level just for motivating kids to get small, to encourage them to realize behaviors that don't typically get assessed or part of a curriculum, it's now inching up and found its way into higher education. They see the value of it. And industry sees the value of it, particularly in the U.S. in breaking down the barriers on people not being employable. I heard the figure of 2.5 million jobs in the United States going unanswered last year, yet high unemployment. And the problem is that the Manufacturing Institute in the United States has identified that a lot of high school students are coming out of high school, but they don't have any proof of what they can do. They've got a high school diploma, but they don't have anything else. So they're seen as unemployable. there are college graduates coming out of college, and they're also being seen as unemployable. The badges are being seen by the Manufacturing Institute and other branches of, in this case, the American economy, as a means to breaking that bottleneck in that formal education is not being able to be responsive enough to the needs of those people that are currently unemployed. So being able to demonstrate a skill, learn the criteria from, say, an industry that they're crying for me to go to potentially a MOOC to learn that skill, produce an artifact that meets the criteria of that industry to get to demonstrate that I can do that skill, all of that taking place out of a formal education setting, that's pretty amazing. That's it. Then's the times we're in. Now, obviously, higher education's got a fair bit at stake in this. There's a bit of a reluctance to do this because it has the potential of dismantling a good portion of what's been built over the years, a lot of empire building in higher education. This is interesting. Vance, is this from the... Yeah, this is from Alan Radford's presentation. Yeah.
I'm just scrolling through that. And I believe that link is in the wiki, the learningtogether.ppworks.com. You put it there, right?
Yeah.
And all those links, including a few more that we've been shown, will be put into the archive version of this talk, which always goes up at learningtogether.net. And if you hit any of those sites, they all link to each other. So Jim's talk will be blogged there. I move everything from the wiki, where we collaborate on our work, to the archive version, and the YouTube video of this will be there. I'll also make an MP3 from it, so if you want to listen and while you're driving or jogging or whatever, you can do that. And boy, that's going to be a very... It's coming on to an hour and a half to listen to that. So
I won't say more. But it'll be interesting to talk to the forgive me, the name again, from the woman from Credly, because they'll know more about
this. Kendall,
open credentialing. Boy, that's beautifully said there.
Yeah, they're great people. They have provided for over a decade the Webheads room on a grant, so it's not a free Blackboard Collaborate. Illuminate is not free, but it's been provided to basically Webheads, as you said. There's no money in this, so everything we do is free. And anyhow, she's going to, in a way, she's our benefactor for that. And then they've also come on and told us a lot about badges. I think Jonathan Finkelstein gave us a talk about Credly before, showed us how the back end works, walked us through on screen shares. I can probably put that link in there somehow. I'll find it. It's on the Learning Together archive. And so, we'll make sure that all those links go up on the blog, and you can come back and listen to the recording. And we'll have
Thanks,
more
Vince.
On Sunday. Yeah, thank you, Jim. Really appreciate your coming along, and I appreciate everybody else coming. I don't know if I said the date. Did I? This is November 4th, 2014. We've been talking with Jim Buckingham at Zayed University in Abu Dhabi, UAE. And with other people in the Electronic Village Online moderator team. And certainly appreciate having you all along. Thank you.
Great. Thanks,
Great
for all.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Good night, everybody. I'm going home for dinner.
Yeah. Thanks for giving your time.
Okay. Good night, then.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.